The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Real Estate Investing Rockstars Biggest Mistakes Part 2. But before we get started, I just want to touch base with you. We got a long show today, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on announcements, but I do want to just encourage you, and I hope you're doing well and starting off your new year. I'm hearing some great stories about folks that are finding properties and making cash flow and just moving forward here, and just keep plowing forward, guys, because it does work and you will get there. So just be confident, you know what I'm saying? Because you know that this is probably, I think, out of all the things that you could be doing right now, it's probably one of the easiest that you can actually go from nothing to major wealth here. So it's worth it if you stick it out, guys. On my properties right now, we're moving forward. We're doing some stealth tenant marketing. And if you don't know what that is, look it up on our website, because we've had a couple of episodes on stealth tenant marketing. But we are almost at 100% occupancy in all of our properties. That's pretty exciting stuff right now. Moving forward, only a couple more doors, I think, that are not filled yet. So we've got some good stuff happening there. And a little tip for those of you who are out-of-state investors, okay, especially you West Coast guys who really don't know a lot about snow unless you're living like up in the mountains of Southern California or Mammoth or Tahoe or someplace like that. Maybe there's some places in the Sierras too. But hey, you got to learn your snow-know, okay? So you got to get in the snow-know if you're an out-of-state investor, because some of those Midwest, even the Southern states, man, just got hit with some major snow. I remember when I started investing out there, I didn't know anything about this stuff, like having to have snow shoveled and sidewalks salted and all this stuff that I know a lot of you East Coasters and Northern USers are, and Midwesters are laughing because you're thinking, oh, come on, man. Well, we don't know a lot about that out here. Nonetheless, you got to learn that stuff. Get in the snow, know. So let's jump into our show here, because I've already wasted way too much time already. Let's go into real estate investing rockstars' biggest mistakes. Okay, so just a brief little summary here. We had some great folks featured before. We had Joe Fairless talked about poor due diligence. It's just some of the mistakes that these guys have talked about that I thought were really key. He didn't raise enough money, a big one for a lot of people, for their operating budget and capital improvements before they bought the property. They didn't raise enough money. So, you know, where are you going to get the money from? Unless you do another raise, or you wait, you know, for your cash flow. But really, it's better to raise all that money up front so you can move forward quickly with what you need to do. Dave Lindahl talked about starting with too big a deal, okay? 420 units. It just blew him away, and he almost blew it. Also, buying properties with low occupancy. Jake and Gino talked about buying unfamiliar asset classes and paying too little for new hires, important people for your organization that you're just being too cheap on and end up kind of losing out on the long run. Michael Blanc talked about rent control in Section 8 and the wrong property management company. And Brandon Turner finally talked about how thinking something's a cheap price is a good property, and those aren't necessarily synonymous here. Also talked about not analyzing deals up front. So that was just a brief little recap of show one. There's a link in our show notes here so you can click to it, or you can just go right to our first part. So anyway, I'm going to jump into the next one here. Good buddy, a good guy, Rod Kleef. These are his biggest, he doesn't really call them mistakes, he calls them seminars, okay? So let's hear some of his seminars.
The reason, you know, my podcast is about multifamily instead of single family, because certainly I have credibility in the single family space, is when 08 hit, I had some apartment complexes and I had 800 houses, and I really got my butt kicked on the houses. The values plummeted, the rents didn't really drop, but because the taxes and insurance are so high here in Florida, and the caliber of houses that I had fairly high turnover, they really didn't cash flow that great, even though I was at a great loan to value. So, you know, I really got my rear end handed to me in 08 with my single families. But what I noticed was my apartment complexes did just fine.
Something that a lot of us have encountered, not everybody. I know some people that do really well in single family homes, but he felt like, wow, if he would have invested in multifamily instead of all of, and he had, I don't know how many homes at one point, I mean, almost close to 2,000 houses. You know, that's a lot. I think he just found that multifamily just made more sense for the long run. Our next superstar is Vinny Chopra, who has been on a couple of times on our show and has a real great success story. He just came over with very little from India, and he just really kicked it in the real estate area. He's going to share what his biggest mistakes were.
Sometimes partners can hinder your performance. And then not only that, some are not that active than the others. So that makes it hurtful too, because you have to share all your, you know, earnings and everything, you know, with them and so forth. The second thing is they need to be trustworthy. You got to make sure that you are standing on the same foundation, you know. Those are the two things.
Vinny talked about one reoccurring area where many people have had issues, and that is with partnerships. Selecting a partner is one of those really tough areas where you've got to make sure it's somebody that's well vetted, that you know very well. That can be a great bonus for you. It can also be just a major disaster. So that was a key area for Vinny Chopra. Next up is another favorite here at the Old Dogs REI Network, Nitzan Mosri. He's got somewhere over 120 million in properties, probably more now. Very active. He's in a lot of different asset classes, does a lot of different things. But here is his response when asked what was his biggest mistake.
That's a great question. The biggest mistake was taking the information that I had received for face value and not really investigating it deeper. Another mistake would be building your power team in the market that you're going to be in. That's very, very crucial. And if you're trying to go into a new market without knowing anything about it, and you're diving in with both feet, not having your team in place, and when I say team, that's your property management companies. Your real estate attorneys, your SEC attorneys, Securities and Exchange Commission attorneys, having these people, because they, your appraisers, having these people lined up will help you stay out of the bad deals.
So, yeah, he had a couple of key points there. taking what people say at face value, which I think he means when someone tells you something about a property, it's basically just believing what they say is not always a smart move. You really need to go and verify everything that you hear, everything that is said to you, and making sure that it is in fact what they say, and that the numbers, you know, speak for themselves. The second thing he touched on, which is really key, is having that good local team in place before you purchase properties in different marketplaces. Having that core team is key, and having the right people selected, not just having jobs filled, but having the right property manager, the right attorneys, the right contractors, and so forth. That's a real key one for anyone that's investing, especially out of state. Next up is Chris Urso, very successful New Yorker that has been in multifamily investing for a while. And he actually started off with a ton of single family homes, and that's how he kind of started off. So he now is almost all in for multifamily, and he's got, I think, got something like $100 million also worth of multifamily properties throughout the Midwest, Southeast, and around the U.S. So here was his response when asked what was his biggest mistake.
I'd say my biggest mistake, kind of dovetails off of what you just said, was basically starting too small when I went into this full time. You know, and I had this conversation, you know, most of our investors are probably very similar to your listeners, but I would say starting too small. You know, if I knew then what I know now, I missed the probably greatest buying opportunity of the near future, you know, I don't want to say of my lifetime, but, you know, 2008, 9, and 10, if I was purely buying multifamily, we'd be having a much different conversation right now.
Yeah, you can see he spent a lot of time in the single family market, realized it just didn't compare to multifamily. And so he, that was for him, was his biggest mistake, was starting too small, not just jumping right into a multifamily. Our next person up is Samuel Freshman. And Samuel is a great guy and author of basically wrote the book on syndication. So he's a real talented guy. He's here in Southern California and has been a welcome guest on our show and just a wealth of information. Here is what Samuel said when he was asked what were his biggest mistakes.
Biggest mistakes I made was I didn't buy enough. I could have bought more. And I sold too soon. I bought buildings for $1 million. I started with 1920s high-rise office buildings in downtown Los Angeles. And I buy them for $1 million or $2 million. The buildings would be vacant upstairs, 11 floors vacant. I paid almost nothing. Sold them after maybe 3 to 5 years for $2 or $3 million. I mean, thought we were doing very, very well. Now, of course, this was 50 years ago. But today, those buildings are $100 million.
Yeah, so his interview was a classic. It was really great. But basically, two main things. Didn't buy enough. And he sold too soon. And now I asked him later on, you know, what exactly, you know, how long do you hold on to properties? And he says, forever. So he has a very different approach today than when he started out. But great wisdom from just a guy that's been doing this for 50 plus years. Next up is Frank McKinney. Frank McKinney is what I guess USA Today termed a real estate artist. Okay. This is a guy, he looks at a cliff in Southern California and figures how can he build a house there. And he just does these spec houses. Absolutely nobody has put down any money on this. We'll build these houses that are, I mean, $50 million houses. And he's never failed to sell anything he's ever built. But he is the creator of what's called the Micro Mansion. Okay, here. So he's just a real nice guy. Also, just a real philanthropist. Is real generous in supporting a lot of different charities, one of which is in Haiti also. Real great guy, and we asked him what his biggest mistake was. And this is what he had to say.
Waiting too long to get started.
Wow.
Waiting, and I know that goes way back, but I will tell you the fear associated with leaving a six-figure-a-year job as a 22-year-old making that kind of money on the tennis court. I was driving a Ferrari back then. I mean, I had the life. I came from the corn field of Indiana down to Palm Beach, and I was living the lifestyles of the rich and famous within 4 years as a 22-year-old teaching tennis to beautiful women. I mean, it didn't get any better than that. But I had the biggest risk and the biggest mistake I made actually wasn't taking the risk sooner. So as I fast forward to today, and I've written 5 books in 4 different genres, and the primary undercurrent that I see as an impediment to people's careers, especially careers in real estate, is giving in to the fear associated with the other 4-letter word, risk, the risk of getting into the real estate business.
So that's Frank, this is a good one too, and this is probably one of the huge, it is kind of the toughest thing for newbies is making that first step. And I know because I was so hesitant and so apprehensive before I purchased my first property. But I tell you, it is a big one. You know, it sounds like he was doing real well before then, you know, being a tennis instructor and all that stuff. But, you know, really he wanted something that would last and something that could be a legacy too that he would hand down. He finally did it, but it took him a while to get started, like it does with a lot of us. Next up, another favorite on the Old Dogs REI Network, Jay Scott. And he is a full-time entrepreneur, investor, flipper. I mean, you name it. The guy is just Mr. Real Estate Investing here, and has written some great books, book on flipping houses. He's got a website, 123flip.com. I mean, he's just all over the place. Major fixture at biggerpockets.com. And so we wanted to find out what he thought was maybe his biggest mistake. And here's what he had to say.
But if I had to point out one deal that I think we made the most mistakes on, it would certainly be the first one. Our very first flip, we overpaid. We knew at the time we were probably overpaying, but we were so gung-ho about getting a deal under contract and just getting started in the business that we didn't notice that, I guess in retrospect, we probably overpaid by about $10,000. That same deal, we underestimated our renovation costs by, I think, $15,000, if I recall. And again, that was a mistake that didn't need to be made. We were so excited that we didn't do the due diligence we should have done. We did a quick back of the napkin estimate for the rehab costs, and we didn't know how to estimate rehab costs at the time. So not only was it back of the napkin, but it was back of the napkin with probably very bad numbers. And it turns out we were about $15,000 under the actual rehab cost for that project. And then on the back end, we thought we could sell it for, I think our price was $115,000. And what we found was we couldn't sell it for that price. We overestimated the resale value. So instead of selling it, what we did was we decided to hold it as a rental, and we held it for about 2.5 years. We tried lease optioning it. We tried lease purchasing it. None of our buyers could ever qualify for financing to refinance. And then after 2.5 years, we had to do a second renovation on the property, and we eventually sold it. This was the first property we bought in August 2008. We eventually sold it, I think, in 2011. And we were, again, very fortunate that we were conservative in our original numbers. We built in a lot of profit. So even with the overpaying by $10,000, spending about $15,000 too much in renovations, holding the property for about 2 years longer than we expected, we still eked out about $1,000 profit on that property. part of that was the market helped us. There was some appreciation in the market between 2008 and 2011. But we made pretty much every mistake you can make on a flip project on that very first deal. And I look back and I don't like to refer to them as mistakes because we learned so much on that first deal that we can pretty much attribute all of our future success, all of our success since then, to the issues we had on that first deal. So it was actually a good thing in retrospect.
Yeah.
Now that that to me was precious because man, you know, it's so funny. Here's the guy that wrote the book on flipping houses, but he, in his own words, made every mistake that a flipper could make right up front. But you know, that is the thing. We're so often we're so afraid of moving forward and just taking a step. Here's a guy, he went out there, he's an engineer, he's a smart guy, you know, and he went out there and he started his house, first house flip, and it was pretty much a disaster as you can measure it in terms of all the things that he did wrong. But what I really love about it is the guy picked himself up by the bootstraps and dug right in and became one of the top flippers in the country. And not only that, but he wrote the book on flipping. And so, you know, that's an encouragement. I think it should be for all of us is sometimes really, you know, that mistakes are not a bad thing. We're going to make them. We just have to admit that we're going to make them and we need to move forward and from there and learn from them. And obviously he learned a lot. He wrote a whole book worth of information about what he learned. And so that is, I think, a real key, you know, maybe the various mistakes I don't have to really list here. I mean, he kind of recapped them himself, but I think that the lesson here more than anything else is, we're going to learn and we're going to make the mistakes and then we're going to learn. And that's what's important, the education that goes with it. We got one more here, and this one is with Ken McElroy. Now, Ken, everybody should know that name. He's been one of our favorite guests, but has also just some of the great books out there. ABCs of Real Estate Investing, The Advanced Guide to Real Estate Investing, The ABCs of Property Management. Just tons of great resources. He's a rich dad advisor, does a lot of stuff with Robert Kiyosaki. Just a great guy who does a lot of good stuff too. Also a philanthropist that is very active in various organizations and so forth. So we saved him for last, and we'll go ahead and when we asked him what his biggest mistake was, this is what he said.
Gosh, there's so many. I mean, I have them, I think, every day.
I don't feel so bad.
Yeah, so I think probably one of the bigger mistakes that I think about is I lost a bunch of investors' money. And it was about 10 plus years ago in a condominium conversion that we did. And, I think we were, you know, what happens sometimes is the markets get so, I just had this conversation with somebody this morning. The markets sometimes get so hot and frothy that you start to lose your awareness of just some of the basic fundamentals and you get kind of caught up in the hype. And certainly that happened to me. Now, not exactly, the market didn't fall out from me. What happened was, as you remember, when during the financial crisis and the banks started, you know, shutting down and closing and things like that, we had, on a condominium conversion, you basically take an apartment building, this one was 300 units in Scottsdale, Arizona, and you sell them off individually to investors and or homeowners, and then they need the financing to be able to buy those. And so what happened was the financing for the what we call the takeout buyer went away overnight. So there was nobody lending to anybody that could buy them, and therefore we didn't have any buyers. And so as a result of that, I lost a bunch of money. Some investors we brought in lost a bunch of money, and just the unwinding of all that was extremely painful.
Wow. What'd you learn from that, that going forward that, you might better be able to prepare for something like that?
Well, I learned a lot. I learned, you really got to overly communicate to everybody. And some people put their head in the sand. Yeah, I've invested in things independent of my company, and people lost my money, and then they go dark, you know. That's one that, you know, I overly communicated. I got people on the phone. I met with them in person, and just, you know, was ready to take my lumps. And that surprisingly didn't happen because of the transparency that we showed. But that was one. And then also, I think what happened is, you know, I want to stick to models that I have more control over some of the risk. You know, in that particular case, there were a bunch of market risk things. You know, right now people are talking about market risk, and you know, anytime you're buying something today and you hope that it's going to be more next year, that's a big risk, in my opinion. And but that's what most people do. And you know, we have more of a, I think I have more of a philosophy around what I call forced equity, which is when I, like kind of what I was describing in the beginning, if I buy a building for $10 million, before I buy it, I know operationally I can improve the value to, say, 15 before I buy it. And that's forced equity. And that's done, that has nothing to do with the market going up or cap rates going down or anything like that. It has all to do with basic fundamentals of rent growth and expense savings and growing the net operating income.
That was a great answer. Now, granted, it was geared very much towards syndication and the things that he's you know, very not actually syndication. That was a totally different a condo conversion, but it sounds like you know, they probably were funding it through syndication. So, but nonetheless, I think in this one, it's not so much the problem, because he really didn't make a mistake as much as you know, just got caught in 2008 and in that craziness of, you know, what was going on with lenders and so forth during that time. But what I really like about this answer that I thought was worth sharing is, one, you know, how he responded to it. And the key thing was to communicate you know, just to, in fact, over communicate with his investors. And you know, I think the things that he learned from this, of course, he talked about, you know, one key being communication, and that I think he even shared that a lot of those investors still continue to invest with him even though they lost money, because just the open communication and the transparency. But he also went into an area that he wasn't familiar with too. He was you know, doing condo conversions, which he had never done before. He has models that he knew how to work, and he talked about that. He understands about forced equity and value add and that type of thing, but he was not in that space when this happened. So it was difficult for him to recover and to respond to it. And plus, he was in a high risk area. You know, with value add and forced equity, you know, that's going to work even in a bad market if you do it right. Now, granted, you may not get the full return, but you still will get a return. I think there's a lot of good stuff in this one, and I think all of these that we had for these last two shows, I think there's a lot of wisdom there. And in fact, we're going to put together like a little graphic thing that you could actually download with you know, the folks and what their particular issues were. If you're interested, you could go in our show notes and download that. But some great stuff here. I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoyed it. Enjoyed listening to some of the responses. Been a while since I'd listened to some of these shows, and I just always learn every time I listen. So it's been great. That is it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today, and there's going to be a lot of links. There'll be links to the shows that they were on. There'll be you know, other information available that will have links in there, as well as this graphic where you can have all of the rock stars' responses in one little graphic deal. That's all going to be on our website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And look for the show entitled Real Estate Investing Rockstars Biggest Mistakes Part 2. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.